It's the Hector Q. Peabody Show. Stop that music. Hey, Chuck, what are you doing?
I'm disgusted.
Why?
You know, Dan, for the past 8 or 9 weeks, we've been running the Hector Q. Peabody Show without Hector Q. Peabody.
Well, I know, and it's kind of hard to do.
And, Dan, every week we get some kind of message from Hector, either telling us that he won't be here or giving us some silly excuse for not showing up.
I know, and it's kind of hard to do.
And now, I'm a cool, calm, easygoing guy, but I've just about had enough, all I can stand. You hear me?
No. Talk a little louder.
Oh, okay. I've had all I can stand. Not only do we have to handle this show for him, but who gets all the money? Hector Q. Peabody. He's the guy with all the loot. And what do we work for? Peanuts. That's not right.
Of course it isn't. We deserve cashews, at least.
Certainly. And what's more, who gets top billing on this program? Not you, Dan McGuire, or me, Chuck Shaden. Oh, no. It's Hector Q. Peabody. That's who. Dan.
What?
I don't like it.
But, Chuck, what can we do? We've been hired by Hector to plan the show and put things together in case he doesn't get here on time.
Get here on time? Get here on time? Why, he doesn't even get here.
Now, Chuck, come on, calm down. There isn't anything we can do.
What do you mean there isn't anything we can do? There's plenty we can do, and we're going to do it now.
Well, Chuck, what's on your mind?
Today, Dan, we're going to begin the new Chuck and Dan show.
Chuck, you mean...
Right, we're going to forget all about Hector Q. Peabody for today. We're going to run the new Chuck and Dan show.
Hey, Chuck, I'm beginning to think you're right.
Of course I'm right.
By gosh, Chuck, I'm with you. When do we start?
Right now, with a new theme. Joe, that record I gave you, play it. Go ahead. There, it's time for the new Chuck and Dan show, and this is Chuck Shaden.
And Dan McGuire speaking for Hector.
Oh,
sorry, forgot. And Dan McGuire speaking. We'll be here for a while now with music and items of interest for you and yours.
Yes.
Hey, Chuck, what now?
What now? Dan, this is the new Chuck and Dan show. We can do whatever we want, anything at all.
Anything?
Anything.
Oh, boy. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Chuck and Dan Show proudly presents that great baritone Dan McGuire singing several selections from a well-known folk aria. When I was young, I used to wait upon master and bring him his plate.
No, not that, Dan.
And fill
Dan,
the
I didn't
cup
mean it like that.
When his cup ran dry.
No, Dan.
And
oh,
brush away the blue tail
record,
fly.
Dan, will you shut
Jimmy
up,
crack corn,
Dan,
and
no,
I
Dan.
Don't care.
Dan, no.
Jimmy crack
no,
corn,
no.
And I don't care. I can't see what's wrong with my singing a song now and then. After all, I've got talent and plenty of personality.
Oh, come on, Dan. When I said that we'd do whatever we wanted to do, I didn't mean singing like that. We play recorded music, even on the new Chuck and Dan show, because that's what our listeners like. And Dan, no matter what we think, it's our utmost duty to please our listeners. And that's what I think should be in the back of our minds at all times.
And that's good enough for me, dum-dum.
Now cut that out.
Aw, Chuck, I'm only kidding. I realize that our listeners like to hear recorded music. I was just kidding around a bit.
Dan, on this show, we don't kid. This is one of the most serious programs on the air. We're dead serious about everything we do.
Chuck.
Yes?
Slap my wrist.
Oh, cut it out now. I was just retaliating to your humor.
Do it again and I'll break your neck.
You're crazy. What was that?
Telephone. Will you get that, Chuck?
Yeah, right. Hello? What? What? Look, Hector, if you can't get here, we're going to do whatever we please. Goodbye.
Chuck, that wasn't...
Sure, it's Hector. He's listening. Just tuned in on us. Says we're not supposed to laugh so much.
Why, the nerve!
That's what I thought. If we feel like laughing, we're going to laugh, aren't we?
Sure!
My heart is sad and lonely. For you I sigh, for you, dear only. Why haven't you seen it? I'm all for you, body and soul. I spend my days in longing and wondering why it's me you're wronging. I tell you, I mean it. I'm all for you, body and soul. I can't believe it, it's hard to conceive it, that you turn away romance. Are you pretending? It looks like the ending. Unless I could have one more chance to prove dear, my life a wreck you're making. You know I'm yours for just the taking. I'd gladly surrender myself to you, body and soul. I'm yours for just the taking. I'd gladly surrender myself to you, body.
Hey, Dan, why don't we take the listeners of our new Chuck and Dan show out into the corridors and through the studios of our radio station,
Say, Chuck, that's a good idea. We could drop in on the other studios and let them listen to what's happening during rehearsals and so forth and so on.
Sure. You know that other guy that, Hector Q. Peabody? He'd never think of that. Come on, let's go,
I'm with you.
After you.
Thank you. Well, friends, we're out in the corridor, and just to our right is Studio C. Now, Chuck and I broadcast from Studio D, which is comparatively small, because we don't need too much room for our show.
But in Studio C right now, I believe they're rehearsing a mystery program. We'll just open the door here and peek in and see what's going on.
All right, buddy, get up against that wall. You asked for this, now I'm gonna drill you. Take that! Now I'm really gonna drill you. Take that! On second thought, I'll take this knife and cut your heart out.
Well now, friends of the new Chuck and Dan show, we're just outside of Studio B on our tour of the studios here at the radio station. And although we aren't able to go in and take a look around, we're sure that if you just step around the corner here, you'll be able to look into the clear glass window and see what's going on, okay? Now, look. Isn't that interesting?
Sure is, Chuck. I hope all the folks out there can see what's happening inside. Sure is nice to see.
Yeah. Neat, huh? Well, Dan, why not get back to Studio D and continue our show from there, huh?
But, Chuck, aren't you forgetting something?
What?
Well, we haven't even gone over to Studio A.
Dan, please. Remember who broadcasts from Studio A.
Huh? Oh, almost forgot. Yeah, I guess we'd better pass that up, huh?
Of course. Back to Studio D, huh?
Yeah. Chuck.
Yeah?
Who is it, Studio A?
Hector is in there. And we don't want to go there. He'll wise up to what we're doing today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, here we are. Oh, I forgot Dan.
Well, thanks. I thought you were going to leave me out there. Hey, who's that over there?
Where?
Sitting in our desk. That guy with the mustache.
Gee, I don't know. Hey, buddy, what do you want over here?
Hey, buddy, what can we do for you?
Come on, buddy, say something, will you?
Who are you?
Yeah, come on, who are you?
Look, Chuck, he just sits there holding that bell.
I wish he'd say something.
Even if you haven't started to school yet, you'll be interested in what happened to the boy who was always late. His teacher said, a diller, a dollar, a 10 o'clock scholar, what makes you come so soon? You used to come at 10 o'clock, and now you come at noon. He was a late one, wasn't he? Mother Goose has so many, many friends. Someday on your way to school, you may meet the 20 little froggies. You've heard of them. 20 froggies went to school down beside a shady pool. 20 little coats of green, 20 vests all white and clean. We must be in time today. First we study, then we play. That is how we keep the rule when we froggies go to school.
That is how we keep the rule
when we froggies go to school.
I went to bed last evening feeling blue as I could be. I couldn't sleep last evening for what was worrying me. the tears I've wasted would surely fill the deep blue sea. I've got so sigh about him, cry about him, Lordy, where am I without him blue? He keeps me walking on the floor, and like a fool I ask for more. Although I know he isn't good, I wouldn't leave him if I could, I know. I'm not the first on his list, I'd never be missed. I wish I had a dime for every girl he kissed, I swear I'd be a millionaire. And yet I wouldn't care as long as I could get my share. Those mad about him, sad about him, how can I be glad without him blue? He makes my dreams go up in smoke, and then he treats it like a joke. He's just an ordinary sort of guy, and yet I love him till I die. Poor me. I've got those mad about him, sad about him, how can I be glad without him blue?
Say, you know, Chuck, you know what was wrong with that, pardon the expression, Hector Q. Peabody show?
What, Dan?
There was not enough in the way of sports.
You know, you're right. We ought to have a remote sports broadcast once in a while, I think.
I agree.
Hey, listen, aren't those two A sportscasters, Bert Ellsworth and Walter Summerholm, covering a big sporting event today for the station?
Come to think of it, you're right. Aren't they covering that big May I game over in Asbury, Connecticut?
You're right. Listen, let's switch controls. Joe, over there in the control room, will you feed us the line in from Asbury, and we'll take the May I game. I think that's what
it
is.
Yeah, we'll do that if you ever quit stuttering.
Well, we'll do that. I mean, okay. Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, then, as a special service of the new Chuck and Dan show, we take you to Asbury, Connecticut, where our special events reporters Walter Summerholm and Bert Ellsworth are waiting to bring you their play-by-play description of the nation's most popular sport, the May I game. Set up in there, Joe? Fine, huh? All right, we take you now to Asbury, Connecticut, and Walter Summerholm and Bert Ellsworth.
Well, thank you, Chuck, and this is Walter Summerholm, along with my partner, Bert Ellsworth, in Asbury, Connecticut. We're here today to bring you a complete play-by-play description of the May I game, Connecticut's most popular outdoor sport. Bert?
Well, thanks, Walter. Well, sports fans, it's a beautiful day in Asbury, just perfect weather for a May I game. For those of you who aren't quite familiar with the game, we'd like to take a few minutes before the game begins to tell you how it goes. First of all the players begin on a line, you see.
The no-yard line.
Correct. Then the coach...
In this case, Tom Dugan of Notre Western.
The coach gives a command, such as two giant steps or one baby step or possibly three scissor steps to one of the players. The player, in turn, takes these steps as called for. Now, however...
And this is very important.
However, the player must answer the command by saying, may I? Now, if the player fails to answer, may I, he must go back to the original starting position and begin all over again.
Yes.
But if the player does say, may I, the coach has the opportunity of saying, yes, you may, or no, you may not, and give another command.
Yes, give another command.
So there you have it, the principles behind the may I game. Well, there's a signal that calls the players to the no-yard line. Walter, do you want to name these players as they fall into position?
Why, sure, Bert. In the number one position, we have Handsome Ransom Golfence, who has been quite prominent in May I games throughout the West Coast and Southeastern states. In the number two position, we find George Liberace, who's been playing for several weeks now. Third man in the string is Asa Yolson, who before entering this great sport was a salesman for Morgan David. Fourth in line is Charles Charlie Hatslinger, known throughout the country as having missed the least number of Mayis since the beginning of his connection with this game. Fifth and last on today's opening lineup is Molly Kranis. Now, Mayi is usually a man's game, but Molly was officially entered in today's game because she had all the scorecards and wouldn't let anyone else play unless she could. And there you have today's star-studded lineup.
I think we ought to mention, Walter, that the usual number of Mayi players is six, but at the last minute, the star player, Are You Itching, was scratched.
Correct. And now that all the players are at the starting line, the crowd is getting more excited.
And as we look to the north of the Mayi field, we can see coming from the coach's room, Coach Tom Dugan, who is slowly walking out into the playing field. Again, the crowd roars tremendously.
Let's switch over to the microphone on the field to hear some of that colorful Asbury, Connecticut band music. Well, here we are back in our special broadcasting booth, anxiously awaiting today's Mayi game for its beginning. The crowd is tense and everyone is on edge to see another magnificent game.
Well, there's the starting line, and that means the game is officially underway. The coach is stepping up to the field, and he's on by the microphone now, and we can hear him say,
"Player number one, take three giant steps forward."
May I?
You may. Player number two, take two baby steps forward.
May I?
No, stay where you are.
May I?
Yes. Player number three, take three scissor steps to the left.
May I?
You may. Player number four, take 18 giant steps forward.
May I?
No, take one baby step backwards. Come back to the starting line. You didn't say may I.
Did you hear that, sports fans? Player number four, that's Charles Charlie Hatslinger, forgot to say may I and was given a penalty. Say, Walter, how about explaining that move to our listeners?
I'd be glad to, Bert. Well, friends, when the coach changed his mind about the 18 giant steps, he asked Hatslinger to take one baby step backwards. Hatslinger did this, but he forgot to say may I. Therefore, he has to move back up to the starting line. So actually, he is back where he started, whereas if he had said, may I, he would have been one baby step behind player number five, who hasn't even started yet.
And now let's get back to the playing field.
Player number five, take four cartwheel steps forward.
May I?
You may.
Back in the stands, friends. We've completed the first round of the players, and here is how the score looks. Player number one is three giant steps in front of the starting line. Player number two is right on the starting line. Player number three is seven scissor steps to the left, and just to the left of the no-yard line. Player four is, as is player two, right on the starting line. Player five, the last one to move, is four cartwheel steps in front of the starting line, which all means that player number three, with seven scissor steps, is ahead.
Oh, no, Bert, I think you're mistaken. You've got that wrong. I think player number five with the four cartwheel steps is out in front of the others.
Well, Walter, you may be right about the player five being ahead of player three, but certainly five is not in the lead.
No, you're wrong. Five is way ahead of the rest. Just look at him.
Now, doggone it, Walter, why don't you open your eyes? Any stupid idiot can see that five is not leading.
Now, listen, Bert, I've been doing this kind of thing for a long time, and I know what I'm talking about. I can see this stuff.
Say, pardon us, fellas, but this is Chuck and Dan back in our studios, and we suggest that you ask the official timekeeper just who is ahead. How about it, huh? Our time is running out.
Yeah, how about it?
Hey, Walter, maybe they're right. Why don't we find out?
Yeah, we might as well. Hey, timekeeper, who's winning?
I don't know. The players have left their positions.
How come?
They're serving pizza in the shower room. Why don't you guys come on down and have some?
May we?
No, I'll go back and have a salami sandwich.
Hey, Chuck, we just got a telegram, and it's signed Hector Q. Peabody.
Well, I suppose you might as well read it.
Yeah, listen, dear Chuck and Dan, was listening to your cheap imitation of my wonderful show in Studio A, and finally I could take no more. Ooh. I've left for a trip through the lower salt mines of the tsetse fly-infested African jungle to look for two men to replace you. Ooh. I'm thoroughly disgusted. As much as I'd like to dismiss both of you, I can't do it because I have no immediate replacements. However, should a reoccurrence of this horrible display of insubordination happen, it will be my duty to discharge you immediately. Signed, Hector Q. Peabody.
Well, I was just a little upset because he wasn't here, that's all. I mean, gee, how much can a guy take, after all?
Boy, are you a dirty rat.
Well, God, I couldn't help it. I just got carried away.
Joe.
Gee, I thought it would be a good idea, maybe.
Thank you.
Well, that's our Hector Q. Peabody show for today. Join us again next week for another Hector Q. Peabody show. This is Dan McGuire speaking for Chuck Shaden and Joe Abascrato, our engineer. Sound on our program was by Marconi.
Oh, this is a CLS production.